As most of you know, Wednesday, June 15th, Charlotte Joko Beck died. Some of you knew her. She was my Dharma teacher, my very close friend. Some of you practiced with her. Many of you have read her books. If you haven't met her, listen to her talks on audio or even video. I won't say much about her in terms of the larger Dharma world, but certainly she was one of the major Zen masters in the United States in the last 30 years. And her influence goes far beyond just her numerous Dharma successes and students. And you can see some of that in comments on the internet from various teachers and people, all sorts of ways. And in terms of her books and her direct teaching, what I've decided to do is in the next weeks and months, I will talk a little bit about my memories of her practice, her teaching. And there'll be, of course, opportunities for you all to share that. I think it's valuable for us to share it, for the person who reflects on it, who clarifies it, and I think it's valuable to share it with others. I think you serve others, and others serve you by giving you the opportunity to do that. Serve you in being who you are, in being most ordinary, which is really the richest and most wonderful gift that you can give yourself and give someone else. That's really what our practice is about. Some of my thoughts will be rambling, or some of the things I say, and some of it will be more focused on specific Dharma themes. The next two sessions will be connected to this, to, I call them Joko Memorial Sessions. That's the one in July in Springfield and the one in September here. And as I mentioned earlier, there'll be an opportunity, and actually I'll encourage you, if you wish to come July 24th, especially prepared to share whatever you wish, if you met Joko, and even if you didn't and just read her works and were touched, transformed, found something in it for you. And you'll see there's one picture on the altar now, because we had a funeral service this morning. There was, of course, a separate funeral, was small and private for a family in Arizona. I encourage you, if you have pictures you want to bring on for July 24th, please feel free to bring those or whatever else, and I'm sure you're creative enough to see what's appropriate. And it'll be a different day. We'll do things differently. As I said, hopefully we'll do a potluck lunch at the end, so it'll be social, but I want to keep part of it in a format in the Zendo like this, even though there'll be some Zazen, but there'll be lots of talking, maybe some things on video. I have some VHS tapes, but I don't have I only have a small VHS TV. It's outdated. No, what should I say? That's almost antiquated medium now, but there might be a way to play it in a way that we can see some things. Not some of it is. Some of you are familiar. There's actually something on the internet, 6 minutes of a video that someone did. I don't know what it's called, but it's actually on YouTube, so you could find it. And it's part of a larger video which I have in VHS format. It might be on DVD format, but I don't know. But I have other materials, just more private, on VHS format, and I'll see if I can get those. I mean, what's valuable, I think, is to see and appreciate for ourselves how Joko's teaching and her life are one. And it's the teaching of being what and who we are, which is being ordinary. Being nothing special. And that's the title of one of her books. And it's the way she taught. That doesn't mean that there aren't forms. It doesn't mean in the room when you went in for a private Zen face-to-face encounter, she could be very, what should I say, tough, very no-nonsense. But that was exactly what was appropriate there. But Joko was always grandmotherly kind, though sometimes we didn't want that, we wanted something else. And anyway, I'll say a little more. I don't want to say too much now, a little bit at a time. I have some things. Let me just start by saying I met Joko in 76 when I moved to Los Angeles to be at ZCLA, and she was coming up to Los Angeles on a almost weekly basis. Every weekend she and a group of other people would drive up from San Diego. She was living in San Diego, and they would drive up from San Diego to sit. Saturday morning was when we had sitting and various other activities, plus sesshin. And then I think it was at the end of 76, it might have been in the beginning of 77, she moved up to ZCLA and lived there, had an apartment in one of the properties. At the time, ZCLA included various apartment buildings around the Zendo. The Zen Center expanded in that way. Some apartment buildings were owned, some apartment buildings were only people rented apartments. She had her own apartment. And I got to know her, and we actually, I don't know what to say, we hit it off very early on. We resonated in a way. She wasn't a teacher at that time. She came up. She had been practicing for many years. She had done sesshin with Yasutani Roshi, with Maizumi, who wasn't Roshi at the time when it started, with Soen Roshi, and that's who she started practicing with. And one of the things we sort of found we had in common was that we both had practiced with Soen Roshi and really appreciated his style, his presence, his ordinariness, which is really was a characteristic of both him and Ramana Maharshi, who both of us appreciated greatly. Of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, but I had only read Maharshi's books, and Joko also had only read Maharshi's books, but we found something there that we appreciated and that allowed us to appreciate our life in the immediacy of nothing extra, nothing needed. Both Joko and I appreciated this in them. And one of the things we sometimes did is we just sat and would, sometimes we just brought up something that we remembered from one of or the other of them, and we just sit together and not say much else except be there with it. So we would hang out sometimes in different ways. I would visit her in her apartment, and we would just hang out. We didn't have that much free time. I mean, what we did at the Zen Center is we sat and we worked and we did sesshin. So we did that together. But we also occasionally had a free afternoon or a free day, and occasionally we would hang out together. As some of you know, I'm highly allergic to cat dander, and Joko, most of the time that I knew her, had a cat of one sort or another. I remember the cat, I think, at ZCLA was Kiki. I might be wrong, because it's a long time ago and things merge together sometimes in which cat where. But one of the things that I knew is that there was a time limit. In other words, I could visit, and other people would sometimes be there as well. I mean, but I could only be in her apartment a certain amount of time before I started to sneeze and itch, and it would be okay, time for Genmyo to go, or I would say, okay, it's time for me to go. That was my signal. But it's important, I think, to appreciate that aspect of Joko, because it's something that was when she was a Zen student, when she was a Zen teacher, when she was a novice teacher, or when she was ordained, became more senior, became a teacher, and continued, is in the midst of all, if we say, the deepening and maturing of her practice, our appreciation of people's practice, is to see this for her, in her, this common thread of being ordinary and simple, being ordinary and simple, which is why her whole style of teaching, her whole emphasis is on what is ordinary, and that the realm of practice isn't in some special realm, but is in our ordinary everyday life. It's in our where and how we live, are with others, are with family, in work, with friends, and where we refuse to be with others by getting angry, by getting caught up in habits and perpetuating them, by acting out and reacting, an unwillingness to open and be right where, right with who, what we are, who, what they are. Instead, try to avoid it with all sorts of strategies. Not that those are important, except that when they're there, we need to see them so that we can be this open hand, open heart, open being that is our life, that is what we encounter. That's all we have to do. Any attachments, if I say it in such a way, we just can release them and allow them to appear and disappear in this realm of our life. Okay. On Sundays, I usually don't like to talk so much, so I've gone way over time of what I say, but I just wanted to start this, and then this is an opportunity if you have some, if any of you have want to say in something. Of course, there's all sorts of things to be said, and one of the things we discover is in this process of facing this life death that we are, this appearing and disappearing of beings and circumstances in our life. See, really embracing that and being willing to be intimate as that, all sorts of conditions, circumstances, all sorts of feelings, thoughts appear and disappear, arise for us. And then to see how to live, manifest that in a way that's skillful and appropriate. So, I'll stop now, and if someone, some of you want to say something, this is an opportunity.
I'm very grateful. I first started sitting with Joko as a teacher. Some things that have come to mind recently. I mean, when I first called her, because it was long distance, I was a student at first, long distance, I was here, she was in San Diego. She really thought about whether she could take on another student.
Mm.
And, you know, and I realized that, I didn't know very much about Zen, frankly. I had not sat for very long before connecting with her. But she, and she said, well, I guess I have time, you know, but then there were requirements. You know, I had to sit regularly and come to the, we didn't have a center then, but sit with the group that was sitting regularly, at least periodically, and call her, you know.
Regularly?
Yes, once a week, actually. And it was just, you know, it came to me how the devotion that she had to people, you know, who were her students. And I really appreciate that. Also, she was I felt that she always told some very interesting stories or had little sayings, you know, that were very helpful. One thing she said that I'm reminded of recently was, there are two times to keep your mouth shut: when you're swimming and when you're angry.
Good.
And
And I like that you brought up this, what should I say, strictness, this strict side of saying, if you want, you need to do A, B, C. It's up to you. But because she was very devoted to practice, in a sense, I would say her whole life was devoted to them. But I'll say more about that another time. So, no one else has to say anything today, but I would like you to think about things. If you have something you want to bring up in terms of your practice, please see if you can be here on the 24th. And share that. You might find that nothing comes up, and that's fine too. There's no need to say anything. There's no requirement for the 24th except your presence. And that isn't even required except if you want to give it. But if you can, and we'll put this out on email, internet, so that people will know the format and know. And some of you, as I said, might have pictures. I think, I know that this kind of circumstance, dying of someone who we might have been close to or might have some connection with, reminds us all of this fundamental matter of life, death, that we always face moment by moment. And really is the truth right now. Except that we fool ourselves and we think it's not so. But truthfully, we are dying over and over, and our practice in a way is to die each moment and be willing to be born anew this moment. And that's what we have to offer to each other. Thank you.